Take a Bible and go to Psalms 33. Brother Anner don't know, but I preached out of Psalms 37 this morning. Amen. Right down the line, what you was talking about, I actually preached on verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And I talked about we're going to have to relinquish some things. Amen. And you have to do some things you have to commit. You have to give yourself to God. And you have to, if you're going to commit yourself to God, there's some things you have to relinquish in your life. And I've talked about doing God's will and all that. What a blessing that was. So what you said went right along with what I preached this morning. It's almost verbatim. Amen. And really, with that thought still in mind, I want to go to Psalms 33. And we're going to look at Psalms 33. I preached out of Psalms 34, I don't know how many times. And I preached out of Psalms 37, never like I preached it this morning. I never have took just that one verse and divided it and tried to preach on it. But I don't think I've ever preached on Psalms 33. And so I'm just going to give you a little devotional time tonight and what God's just been speaking to my heart. And if he speaks to my heart about something, I pretty well know that he'll speak to your heart. Because we're pretty much the same, amen? And so I trust that he will. And I'm going to preach on something that you probably will think is really crazy. Look at verse number 20, and then I'll read some more verses, and I want to preach on this chapter at first and then end with verse number 20. But the Bible says in Psalms 33 in verse number 20, and I'm not going to make a lot long, but I do appreciate the good presentation tonight. I thought it was well done. And I appreciate the good burden that God, and 86% in 2 years, I mean, that is tremendous. I mean, tremendous. God's blessing them. And so it takes a missionary anywhere from 3 to 4 years sometimes to get their support. Another thing is they got the language down pat, which they're already passed a lot of part of what, if I went, I'd learn sign language. Because I sure couldn't speak Spanish. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what I'd have to go bless. Or we'd have to have picture messages. Amen. I'd preach cardboard messages and get somebody to write them in Spanish. But anyway, oh, man. All right. But, mercy. But I don't know if I'd ever get the Spanish down. Lord knew when he called me, he wasn't going to send me to the mission field that spoke something besides English. All right. Psalms 33, verse number 20. The Bible says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Waiting. 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 Sometimes it's just good to wait. I believe that's what the preacher was just saying a minute ago. He just waited on the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing us the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Now, God, I pray you'll take this little study and use it for your honor and for your glory. God, I pray that you would touch our hearts once again. I pray, Father, for your spirit. I pray for your servants. God, I pray that you'll take now the servant, God, that you called me to be. I pray you'll take me. And, Father, I pray that you'll take your spirit and you'll take your scripture and you'll fulfill your will tonight in our hearts. I pray for each one that's here tonight. They'll listen to the voice of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. As we come to chapter number 33, and you know me, I don't like just jumping in a chapter. And so we come to chapter number 33. The very first verse says, rejoice in the Lord. Matter of fact, the first three verses gives us three requests for us to do. This whole chapter is really talking about singing to our sovereign God. That's what it plays for you and I to sing and recognize and call upon him. If you look at verses 1 through 3, there's a call to rejoice. If you look at verses 4 through 19, there's a cause to rejoice. And if you look at verses 20 through 22, there's a choice that you and I make. We have to make. You have to choose to call upon the Lord. You have to choose to rejoice. You have to choose to. And matter of fact, that's something you're going to have to choose in life to do. As we look at these verses, verse number 1 says, rejoice in the Lord. Verse number 2 says, praise the Lord with the harp, with the instruments. And in verse number 3 says, sing unto him a new song. And, you know, the Bible says that he put a new song in our heart. You know, this world has a song. Amen. Woe is me. This world has a song. I mean, it speaks of all the sadness and all the bad things. Somebody said this, if you played a country song backward, you get your dog back, your four-wheel drive, and you get your wife back. Amen. But this world talks about a lot of things, amen. And there's sorrow in this world, and we realize it. But we're to sing a new song, and we're to rejoice in the Lord. His request, matter of fact, what he's doing, he's calling us to worship. He's calling us to worship God. Then we get down to about verses 4 and 5. He begins to tell. He said, verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is right. You might as well figure this right here is right. Amen. This King James Bible is right. And the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. All his works is done right. All his works is true. I mean, he's a faithful God. Amen. He's faithful and true. And it's his character. I mean, he cannot do anything but right. He can't do wrong. It's his character. It's his makeup. It's who he is. Amen. He changes not. He can't do anything else but right. He can't do you wrong. All he can do you is right. Amen. And so when you look at that, and that's the one we were supposed to commit ourselves to. One, that's the one we're supposed to trust in. Amen. I was preaching of this morning. That's the one that can make everything right for us. And we ended this morning, which was this thrilled my soul, and I hope it encouraged you. We ended with Joseph. And Joseph remembered his dreams. Amen. And he said this in Genesis chapter number 41. He said that there was a famine over all the nations. And I wrote at the bottom of my Bible, God will move heaven and earth to fulfill his will in your life. Amen. That's what he'll do for you and I. He will move everything to fulfill the will that he has. If you'll commit your way, he will do it. Amen. He will cause it to come to pass. Amen. Why? Because he's true. Amen. Why? Because he's right. He can't do any wrong. He can't do anything wrong. He loveth righteousness. Look at verse number 5. He loveth righteousness. And he's a righteous God. He loveth righteousness. But also, look at this, and judgment. Just as much as he's a God of love and a God of kindness and a God of mercy, he also is a God that will bring wrath.
Hey.
Why? Because that which is wrong has to have punishment. That which is wrong has to have to be dealt with. I mean, the way of the transgressor, the Bible speaks of, is hard. And the appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment.
Yeah.
We're going to all stand before judgment. You that are saved, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Those that are lost are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. But all that is in this building will stand somewhere at a judgment before an almighty God. And just as much we want to speak about love, and thank God he is love, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, but God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. But God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We love him because he first loved us. We can talk about all the love of God. And just as much as he loves you, sir, just as much as he loves you, ma'am, he also is a God of judgment. He's a God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. Then it goes on to say in verse number 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Here we begin to look at his sovereignty. Here we begin to look at his way. When I say sovereignty, that bothers a lot of people because they think the wrong things about sovereignty. But we serve a sovereign God that is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows all things. But yet in being a sovereign God, he still has a free will gospel, a whosoever will gospel. Amen. He still has man to have a free will. But he's working out his will and his purpose. Verse number 7, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. And that's where we're missing it, is a fear of the Lord. And he just keeps on going. Verse number 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. I wonder what the thoughts of his heart is to all generations. I think of one good verse, Brother Stranger. It's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I think that'd be a good thought of his heart. That he's not willing that anybody would die and go to hell, that all could hear the gospel and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. It should compel us to want to get the gospel. To you and I that's heard it time and time again, we should want to get the gospel of that one that's not heard it once.
Yeah.
It seems real sad that you and I hear it time and time again. And there's a generation and there's a group of people out in this world that's never heard it once. This is Mission Sunday. How this verse should propel us to want to be involved in worldwide evangelism, because the God, he's counsel, has a heart to all generations. I'm glad God is a God of whosoever will. I'm glad God is a God that cares. But simply, as we get down now to my text, and let me just read verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And then let's go to verse number 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Verse number 21. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in him, in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in thee. Verse number 20, there's waiting for God. Verse number 21, there's trust in God. Verse number 22, there's hope in God. But I want to deal with that wait on the Lord. Waiting. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. I want to tell you some things that waiting brings to you and I as children of God. Can I tell you the very first thing that waiting does when we're children of God and we wait upon the Lord? It brings us strength. When we wait upon the Lord. What did it say in Isaiah 40, 31? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Amen. I'm saying it reminds you and I that when we wait on the Lord, he will strengthen us. Because as we wait upon him, we're not dependent upon our own power. We're not dependent upon our own might. Some Christians lack strength today because they're trying so much to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. Amen. We're trying so much. The Bible says we walk in the Spirit, we should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But there's the other side of that coin. That means if we don't walk in the Spirit, we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. And that's our problem today as Christians, is our walk with God. As much of our walk with God is in the flesh. We try to worship him in the energy of the flesh. You know why they have the all the entertainment that they try to have in churches today? You know why they have the boom bang music and why they have the different kind of things and the drama? Nothing wrong with those things in their place as far as the dramas and stuff and plays. Nothing wrong with that. We had a play for Christmas.
Yeah.
But you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get to the central side of people. They're trying to entertain. They're trying to work things up. They're trying to work a spirit up in man, which is that spirit of their own flesh. Yeah. It's still truly the spirit of God. And the spirit that lives within us that are saved by the grace of God. And we need to realize that, hey, this old world, they can work. Hey, this world, they can sing Amazing Grace.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to get in trouble here. So let me take a drink of water. Elvis Presley could sing Amazing Grace, as beautiful as you ever want to hear it sing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But when I hear Elvis Presley sing Amazing Grace, it really don't do anything for me.
Hey. Yeah.
But I tell you what, there's a lady, I can't remember her name, they called her Granny, up in the mountains of North Carolina, over at Calvary Baptist Church in Robbinsville, North Carolina. You say, where that's at? You can't get there from here. And in Robbinsville, North Carolina. And Granny at Calvary, I was just a young preacher, just started out preaching. Brother David would let me come over there and preach. Brother David Anderson, and he would let me come over and preach. And I remember going around, and I remember sitting about where Brother Kevin's sitting on the front pew getting ready to preach. And Granny would get up, and her voice was already broken from her age. No doubt at one time she probably had a beautiful voice and could sing as good as anybody else could sing. But her voice wasn't beautiful like it used to be, Brother Derek. But she got up there and she started singing Amazing Grace. And I'm telling you, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, something began to stir in me. And people will begin to start saying amen.
Yeah.
And begin, people will start raising their hand and praising the Lord. And I mean, she would sing. And you know what was different than her, than Elvis? She had the power of God on her.
Yeah.
She was singing in what we call the Holy Ghost. Don't let that scare you. Amen. We don't want to scare the missionaries. Hey, the Holy Ghost, amen. I'm just kidding. We want to realize that, hey, that she was singing in the power of another world. She was singing in the power of what we call the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God. She was singing in a different language. Not in an unknown language, but she was singing God's tune.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you know what? She had already lived her. She had lived her life. She had experienced the amazing grace of God. She knew what it was to know Jesus. She knew what it was to sing about him. She knew who she was singing about and what she was singing about.
Amen. Yeah.
sometimes, you know, like the Morrison girls have been by here and sung, beautiful singing. Touches my heart every time they sing. I've heard other groups with young people in it singing, you know, young people. Well, like Amy and whatever his name is, amen? Ryan and Amy, and they sing tonight. But, you know, I see some young people get up and they'll sing a song about suffering or about something like that. And it's beautiful, Brother Brent, as far as the voice. Beautiful. But, you know, Brother Donald, I know they don't know what they're singing about.
Yeah.
You know, I don't take that in the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Steve, same way with some young preachers. They'll get up and start preaching about some trial, and they hadn't really even been through a trial yet. You know, they haven't been preaching 3 weeks. And these trials I'm going through. And they, I mean, you know, I understand that. And I say amen and praise. I egg them on. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not discrediting that. But I think in my mind, you're going to go through some trials, son.
Yeah.
And so you're preaching now. You're preaching by faith. But one day you're going to preach it by sight. You're going to preach it by feeling. You know. One day, right now you're singing. But yeah, one day you're going to sing and you're going to know exactly what you're singing about. And so that's when it's really going to be real. When those young people goes up and you see them continue to sing for God, amen, continue to live for God, you see that preacher continue to go, and I mean, then he finally pastors the church, and he has some that walks out on him, some that don't misunderstands him, amen, and all kinds of things, but yet he keeps on plowing and keeps on preaching and keeps on living for God. Hey, then when he gets up and says, it's going to be a different, and Granny got up and sung. She wasn't my granny, that's what they called her. Granny, when she got up and sung, she knew what it was to sing about Amazing Grace. She knew what it was, the singing, the Spirit of God. She knew what it was to have that. She had got strength from that song. She'd got strength from the Savior that had saved her. She knew what Amazing Grace was. And some Christians, we're unsuccessful in our walk with God because simply this, we just won't wait on God. We just won't wait on Him. Hey, God wants you to use your time, your talent, your treasure, but if you're going to use it, you know, you're going to have to wait. Can I say this? Waiting on God is not, it's being inactive, but it does not mean that you're not being used of God. It does not mean that it is not a necessity time for your life waiting on God. Can I say this to our young men and young ladies? I know we just had some to get engaged, and I'm not preaching this against y'all, but you know what you need to do? You need to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
You need to wait till God sends somebody into your life. Yeah. I tell you, somebody asked me this, a young person asked me, said, how will I know when God sends somebody with you? And I said, send somebody to you. And I said this, you'll just know.
Yeah.
Ain't no way you can write it on a wall. Ain't no way I can tell you to look at a verse. Ain't no way, but you'll just know when God sends someone to you. Yeah. You'll know. But until that time, you know what you need to do? You need to fall in love with Jesus, serve Jesus, love Jesus, do all you can for Jesus, and let God put somebody, put somebody right in your face.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, you get out hunting.
Yeah.
Amen. You get out hunting, there ain't no telling what you'll find.
Yeah.
Because there's a big quarry out there. There's a lot of people out there. Amen. And some of them, they're not worth shooting and going and taking home. I know that's bad, but that's right. They're not worth shooting and taking home. Amen. Come on, help me out. We ain't on the internet yet. We're on the internet. We ain't on TV yet. You know they ain't, amen? So you wait till God puts somebody in your life, young people. You wait till God puts somebody in your way. You wait till God. Hey, waiting on the Lord may seem to be inactive, but it does not mean that it's ineffective. Because God can use that waiting on the Lord to do something in your life. He strengthens us by waiting on the Lord. I've got to hurry. Secondly, waiting brings serenity. It brings peace. The Bible says, look at Psalms 37, verse number 7. Just go over a few chapters. Psalms 37 is a popular chapter. This rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. Amen. Wait on the Lord and patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. Waiting on the Lord brings peace. You know, there's a little peace in this world today. A survey was done what people would want, what was the number one thing people would like to have. And you know, it wasn't money wasn't number one, but you know what was number one? People would like to have peace. You know, peace is something that money can't buy. Peace is something that people can't give you. The only person that can really truly give you peace is God Almighty, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't wait on, it gives us serenity. Waiting on the Lord, many Christians fail to rest in the Lord. They fail to turn their lives over. They fail to just to yield themselves to God and to rest, just to be in His arms, just to be carried by Him. Just wait upon Him and let Him and rest in Him. And when you do that, you know what you're doing? You're putting your confidence in Him.
Yeah.
You're allowing your life to be molded and guided by Him. Many Christians can't get stopped long enough to rest. We live in a hustle-bustle world. I mean, this is going and that is going. But when you rest, you know what happens when we rest? And I'm not talking about sleep and rest, but when we rest, usually you meditate on things.
Yeah.
Usually you think about things. Sometimes it's your walk with God. You know what you need to do? You just need to think about God.
Yeah.
You need to think about who He is. You need to think about how mighty and how powerful He is. How loving He is. How kind He is. How tender-hearted He is. How merciful He is. How gracious He is. How loving He is.
Amen.
We don't think about those characters. We don't think about those things. Well, we just don't rest. We don't. But another thing about resting, when you meditate on things, but usually when we rest and we meditate about things, we notice things when we're resting. When you're... You notice what's, if you just sit down in the house, and say, you notice things that's going on in the house. You know, my wife can change some things around. I'm so hustle and bustle, a lot of times just going here. She can change something. I don't even notice it for 2 weeks. And I'll say, what? I said, when did you do it? She said, I done that 2 weeks ago. I put that, moved that, done that. Why? I just don't sit down and rest. I don't sit down and look around. Look at what's going on around. When you rest, sometimes you look. Be real good for you before you've made a decision in your life to just sit down and rest in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. And just let things get quiet and peaceful and talk to God about it. And let Him lead your thought life. Let Him lead your lead you as He guides you. And let me give you another one, and I'm done. Waiting on the Lord, not only does it bring us strength and bring us serenity, but it brings us stability when we wait upon the Lord. Psalms 41 and 2 said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know what He done? He set my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings. The psalmist said it like this, I wait patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Why? He waited patiently for the Lord. You want to be established in your Christian walk? You want to be that God wants you to be? Do what I said do this morning, you that was here this morning. Commit thyself to God. Trust in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Just rest in Him. Just say, Lord, here I am. Our theme this year is Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me. And we said, raise up your hand and say, use me. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to use you. You say, well, preacher, I don't have much of a usable area. Well, you just give yourself to God and let Him expand your usable area. Let Him expand you. Let Him work in your life and in your heart. It'll stabilize you. Many lack stability today in their Christian walk. They're up one day and down the next.
Yeah.
They're in one day and out the next. Their influence is hurt. Their testimony for the Lord is shot. They have no effect in people's life. Why? Because they're in and out. They're up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like a yo-yo in their spiritual walk. And nobody can have confidence in them. I'm just preaching now. Amen. If the phone's ringing, answer it. I'm not being critical to you. I'm just saying you don't need to be that. As a Christian, we need somebody to be sincere. We need somebody to be stable. We need somebody that'll walk in and day in and day out with the Lord. Now, I know all of us have times of weak faith. I know all of us have times that we stumble and we fail. I understand that. But we must wait upon the Lord, submit our will to God, and ask Jesus to help us and lead us and guide us. Tonight, I just wonder. I know it's just been a short sermon. And y'all don't get a lot of those around here. But I would ask, would like to tell you this. This waiting is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Look what he says. Wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we have what? Hoped in thee. How much you trust and hope and put your faith in him is how much he wants to come and help you and strengthen you and guide you and lead you. Wait upon the Lord. God wants his children to be established. He wants them to be established in the faith. He wants them to be established to be fruitful. He wants them to be established to be fervent for him. Established for him. Peter said it like this, after you have suffered a while, what he'll do, he will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. And that's what he wants to do in your life. But you know what you're going to have to do? Wait upon the Lord. I make this statement. I've made it quite often here lately, just talking to people. I'd rather be 10 steps behind God than a half an inch in front of him.
Amen. Yeah.
Because when you get in front of him, there's no protection there.
Yeah.
But as long as you're behind him, there's protection. Yeah. You just need to learn to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon him. Our heads are bowed.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you now for loving us. Thank you for the service this evening. I appreciate these missionaries that have been with us. What a blessing it is to hear of their burden to go to Honduras and to do a work for you there. I pray that you'd bless them and hurry them on their way so that they can win precious souls for you. Blessing the fellowship to follow and all that's done. May Christ be exalted. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.